Well, this is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day was this past week. And so I want to talk about the Ascension. This past week, I took some vacation days. And one day, I went up to the lake to McGee Marsh and to Ottawa National Wildlife Refuge to look for birds. I enjoy bird watching. And when you, especially at McGee Marsh, where there are lots of warblers, it's a warbler migration area. If you're walking along and somebody's looking up into a tree, you look up too to see what they're looking at. Because if people stop and being, you know, maniacal, the way that birders are, if they're stopped and looking up, it might be something that they've never seen. And you can count on the fact that I haven't seen it for sure. So I look up, what's up there? Oh, it's a black-headed blue warbler, or a palm warbler, or something rare. A yellow-winged blackbird, which are not in the east. And so somebody's looking up, and you stop and look up, and there you see it too. But if you want to be obnoxious, stand in some busy place, like on a busy city street or something, and look up at the sky. Just stand there and look. And see how many people join you, wondering what you're looking at or looking for. And sooner or later, they may ask you what you're looking for. And you, being even more obnoxious, tell them, nothing, I just felt like looking up. And they'll know that they've been had. That's something that junior hires do. Okay, or, well, preachers maybe. Yeah. They'll be embarrassed, and they'll look around for the candid cameras, or bless you with some choice words and storm away. But it's an interesting experiment, actually. Anyone happening along as the disciples stood with their eyes and mouths open wide, staring into the sky, no doubt looked up too. Let me read that scripture that I ignored. Matthew, if you could just go back there. Sorry about that. This is how I just make sure he's awake. You know, it's kind of like looking up. Acts 1, 1 to 11. Luke has continued his historical account. And he begins here, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The disciples were there, mouths wide open, looking up. And these angels, it says men, they were angels, God's messengers, pulled them out of their astonishment. Angels do that. And actually probably made them more astonished. And instead, these messengers had a word. That, by the way, the word angel literally means messenger. They had a word here for these gaping apostles. They said, stop staring into space and get ready to get the world ready for when Jesus comes back in the same way that he just left. Those words were a call to action of sorts, and it ensured for us that no matter what happens, things are always looking up. So I'm talking about the ascension this morning. Often have special messages on that. It's not a big thing in the Brethren in Christ Church. Plain like the Amish and conservative Mennonites actually consider Ascension Day, which I think was last Thursday. It was Thursday or Friday. They consider it a holiday. If they have a business, the sawmill won't be running, okay? We had this wonderful hardware store back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, called Paul B. Zimmerman's. Now, compared to Paul B.'s, we called it Paul B.'s, made laymans look like Shangri-La, okay? Paul B. had anything that you wanted. And so when you needed something that was rare or something that was old, they would have it. And one time, my brother-in-law needed a special part for his strawberry planter that he pulled on the back of his tractor. And it had been built by the Amish, and it had kind of parts on it, and he wanted to plant some more strawberries. And so he drove from Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, to Ephrata, Pennsylvania, which is all the way across the county, probably a 45-minute drive. And he got the Paul B's, and it was closed because it was Ascension Day. So it's a special day for playing groups. I'd love to know what an Ascension Day message sermon might be from them. But for us, Ascension Day is something we almost kind of forget about in a holy calendar that ensures that Christmas and Easter and Pentecost get all the attention for us. They should to a certain extent, but we cannot overlook the ascension. Charles Erdman says, the ascension of Christ includes two great realities. He then passed from the sphere of the seen and temporal into the sphere of the unseen and eternal, referring to Jesus, and he then assumed all authority in heaven and on earth. The event is quite distinct from the resurrection, which took place 40 days before, and also from the gift of the Holy Spirit, which occurred 10 days later at Pentecost. In the preaching of the apostles and in their inspired writings, this event took a prominent place. It is possible that it should be given more serious consideration and a new emphasis in the present day. So I'm trying to do that. So that's what I'm doing today. The ascension is essential because it is the seal that showed that all had occurred with Jesus was for real. Everything that had happened, the resurrection, the Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection, all that was for real. Chris Halshoff says, practically speaking, the ascension should remind us that if there's nothing left for Christ to do to accomplish our salvation, there's nothing for us to add or earn it. Salvation is complete with the finished work of the ascended Christ. Jesus went back, sealing the deal. The gawking disciples notwithstanding, Luke's description of Jesus here in Acts returning to the side of his heavenly Father wasn't a stretch for the Christ followers he was writing to, in addition to his friend Theophilus. They had seen Jesus in action. They had witnessed his miracles. Several of them, three of them actually, had seen him transfigured and speaking to Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. And certainly for disciples, the resurrection sealed the fact that there was always something greater going to happen when it came to their Lord. So it wasn't a stretch for them, but from a distance, okay, for us, for 2,000 some years later, some find it difficult to believe, so they attempt to throw some wrenches into gospel cogs. A question that is sure to come up in everyone's mind. I know it has for me. It surely does for detractors, is where's heaven? Where's heaven? 60 years ago, last month, April 14th of 1961, the first Soviet space cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin, supposedly reported, "I went up to space, but I didn't encounter God." And it turns out that it was just Soviet propaganda. They're atheistic. And they were promoting their state atheism. The truth is, Gagarin was a good Christian, and he was a strong Christ follower who felt that he actually grew closer to God with his 1 hour and 15 minute flight into space. Nevertheless, it was a good question. It's a good question. Where is heaven? If Earth is spinning through space, orbiting the sun in just one of many galaxies in the universe, how did Jesus know when to launch in order to make his target in heaven? That's a reasonable question, okay? But it's simplistic. One commentator put it this way: we know that the Earth is a ball whirling through space. We cannot locate heaven as up or earth as down. This need not destroy for us the realities of the ascension story, because heaven is not a part of our space-time universe, but a realm which our space-time minds cannot picture. It is the seat of God's authority from which he rules the entire universe that he has made. Even the New Testament seems to imply that the place to which Jesus ascended is not to be found in the physical universe, for it says he ascended far above the heavens in Ephesians 4:10. And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, end quote. For 40 days, Jesus had met with his disciples frequently. He was teaching them. He was eating with them. He was drinking with them. But now he leaves them in a cloud. He goes up out of sight. One writer put it this way: he was taken up, But we are not to suppose that he passed through infinite spaces and is now in a vast distance or some remote sphere. There's no up or down in the universe. To say that he ascended is correct, but merely a conventional use of speech. It fitly describes his disappearance from earthly sight and from material conditions, even into the heavenly and spiritual. He ascended. He disappeared from sight. David Guzik writes, it was important for Jesus to leave his disciples in this manner. In theory, he could have simply vanished to heaven and into the Father's presence in a secret sort of way. But by ascending in this manner, Jesus wanted his followers to know that he was gone for good, as opposed to the way he appeared and reappeared during the 40 days after his resurrection. Okay, he appeared on the road to Emmaus. He appeared in the upper room where Thomas finally believed. He appeared on the beach and had a meal, some fish frying for them. But this was it. He ascended into heaven, and it was real. This was the real deal, because he said somebody else was coming to take his place. So while Salty sang, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace, I want to see my Savior's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place, I want to go there. It's true. And it's wonderful to anticipate. Where heaven is a moot point then. The truth is, heaven just is. Heaven just is, and that's for real. And the ascension is also, it was for real, it's for now. It's for now. Notice that the passage begins with Luke talking about what Jesus began to do and teach after he was resurrected. Now, hold a second. He was doing and teaching for 3 years, but it says that it's all the things that he began to do and teach there in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. When Jesus cried, it is finished, from the cross, he wasn't saying everything was done. He was saying the debt for Adam's sin was paid in full. In the same way, the resurrection was not the end. Even though Jesus defeated death, the truth is the cross and the resurrection and now the ascension were all the beginning. So the ascension is for now, as Jesus moved into heaven to make intercession in heaven, to guide the course of his church, and to sit at the right of his Father until the enemy could be made his footstool. It is all ongoing. It's for now. Holshoff writes, it's Jesus Christ who pleads our case when Satan attempts to persecute us before God for the sins we've committed. Christ, as our advocate, mediator, and high priest, pleads our case before God. The case he presents his Father doesn't rest on our successes or fall apart because of our failures. Instead, the case Christ presents is based on his perfect life and his shed blood. Christ, our advocate, has never lost a case. Not sure what's up with my throat today. Jesus is no longer merely the sinless human he was as he ministered. he has now returned to the glory which he had with the Father before the world was. He even exists in the form of God the Son. We are not a creedal tradition. We don't get up and recite the Apostles' Creed every Sunday like some groups do. But the creed is still true. And it says, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that's where he is. And through his Holy Spirit, he is directing the work of his kingdom through his people. That's us. But we will look at that over the next 2 weeks, by the way, as we look at Pentecost over the next 2 weeks. And that's where we're going to leave that for now. And look how the next point is, look at how the ascension is forever. It's for real, it's for now, and it's forever. We know that it's been 40 days since Jesus had risen. We've seen in the first verse of our text how Jesus is putting his finishing touches on his apostles before he returns to the Father. He's giving them their final preparation. And as they stood gawking skyward, it's not a stretch to think the disciples who were on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, 70 or 80 miles from their homes in Galilee, they might have been thinking about going home. Holy city or not, Jerusalem was the holy city, and it's where every Jewish person wanted to go. But home, Galilee, is where the heart is. But the angels told them to stay because even better things were about to unfold. Yes, Jesus would someday, return in the same way, but things with eternal ramifications would unfold soon, within 10 days, as a matter of fact. And so the angels are saying, hold on to your keffiyeh and get ready for the ride of your life eternal. Jesus' ascension is the next step in a wonderful forever. I can't put it better than Chris Holshoff, so I'm going to make a long quote here, kind of long. He says, the ascension of Jesus Christ means the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is within us. On two occasions, Jesus prepared his followers for the coming of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:16, he tells them, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He stands on this a little later in John 16:7, and Jesus says to his disciples, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. These two passages are filled with practical significance for us. It's the responsibility of the ascended Christ to send his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us and with us forever. As our helper, he guides us into all truth. This permanent and guiding helper, this Spirit of God, indwells every believer. Without the ascension of Christ, there's no indwelling spirit inside of us. And I end my quote there. This should be building anticipation for you as we look at Pentecost over the next 2 weeks. The angels asked the disciples, men of Galilee, why are you looking into heaven? This is because no time was to be lost in grief at seeing their great friend vanish into the clouds. Yes, it was true that he was gone. But even the great truth was and is for us that someday he's coming back in the same way he left. Meanwhile, there's work to do. Meanwhile, there's work to do. The ascension is for real. It happened. It was the next step. It was the preparation for Pentecost. The ascension is for real. It had to happen so that now can happen. So the ascension is for now, for the work of the Great Commission, and the ascension is forever. So things are up. And because of that, we best get to work. Jesus said, get ready to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, and into the uttermost parts of the earth, to put it in King James language. And because of that, we best get to work. There's no time to lose. Amen? Amen. I want to remind you of what I've not reminded you over the past couple of weeks, that at the beginning of this month, Lori restarted our prayer circle up here in the front for anyone who would like to pray over any issue, and perhaps something that we talked about in the message. So keep that in mind. It will be staffed.